John chapter 3 is where I'm going to begin, working my way through several different passages as time allows. And see what we have this morning. Would you bow your head with me as we ask for God's special help and anointing as we open up His Word, that His voice would be heard. Speaking to us this morning. Father, we're thankful today for the fulfillment of your promises, that we can find it all in you. We may lose everything around us, but oh, the joy that we have in the fullness of your Spirit and blessing. The reality of those words, make them real to all of us, I pray. As we open up your word today, as we look at what your word, what the scripture tells us, pray that you would give us that anointing that we need. Touch my mind and my lips, touch our ears and our hearts, that we would be able to receive the truth of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. John chapter 3, verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In verse number 7, Marvel not that I said unto you, or said unto thee, ye must be born again. Ye must be born again. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I think we all understand that there's a difference between what's old and what's new. And it doesn't take very long for something that is new to become old. But in the spiritual context of things, things are old and turn to new in this particular context. When a person comes to Christ and they are in Christ, the Amplified uses the word grafted, ingrafted, being brought into Christ, not around Christ, not just a knowledge of Christ. But when somebody comes into this relationship with Christ, they become a person in Christ. There's a new birth that takes place. Ye must be born again. I suppose we all understand that. We all know that. We've heard that for a long time. There's a difference between the old and the new. When we talk about the new, we have to go at some point to Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. There's a change, there's a renewal, there's something that is being brought to pass in a person's life that is different from the old. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. A change of the mind must take place, as well as what has already taken place in the heart as we've come to Christ and become a new creature. Transformed, not conformed to this world, by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's not three different levels of will of God. He's not saying that here is a good part of God's will, or here is another step up of acceptable will of God, or over here even is the perfect will of God, and you have to find your way through. No, that's not what he's saying. He's simply saying that the will of God is good, it is acceptable, it is perfect. Renewing of our minds so that we can prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. We are living in an age, and we are living in a time, I don't know what it was like 100 years ago. I didn't exist then. I really don't even know what it was like 50 years ago, even though I existed then. But I do know that in the more recent years that we are finding more and more false doctrines coming in, being brought around, and sometimes it sounds good. I was listening to somebody recently preaching, and they were really rattling it off. They were really going into a whole lot of doctrinal things, using scripture even, and then venturing out, which a lot of times preachers tend to do. And it sounded good. It really even felt good. And if I didn't know some specific verses of scripture, it would have been easy to fall prey to what was being said. We have to understand that we are not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Now, Paul tells the Roman church in Romans chapter 14 and verse number 12 that we, each one individually, will give an account of himself to God. Now that account of ourselves to God is not going to be where we're going to be able to stand before God and say, well, this enlightenment that you gave me aside from Scripture is what I live by. It's not an enlightenment that we've received for ourselves apart from what God would tell through His Word. We give an account of ourselves to God according to His good, His acceptable, His perfect will. First Corinthians chapter 14. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Let me just say this, and you can take note of it in your mind at least. God's demands supersede our own views. Or if you like, in light of the inauguration tomorrow, we could say that God's demands trump our own views. I'm not trying to be political or anything, but it's the reality. God's views and God's demands supersede our own views. Something that's come to my attention in recent months, I don't know how long ago it really began to press in upon me, but sometimes we use the phrase that I'm at peace with my decision, or I'm at peace with what's going on. I'm at peace with whatever's taking place. But then it was brought to my attention that of all the people in Scripture, Jonah found so much peace going directly against God's word that he was able to sleep in the midst of the storm. I thought about that as Amberly walked off the platform here just a little bit ago, carrying a sleeping child, sitting in the orchestra, fell asleep. You know, how can that be? Well, Jonah fell asleep and was sleeping comfortably in the midst of a storm. They had to awaken him. And he was running from God. You want to talk about somebody that had peace in the midst of the storm. Well, that's not the right kind of peace, is it? I think we all can understand that. So just because somebody has peace doesn't mean that they are in the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's demands supersede our own views. You know, we're not going to be judged. When we stand before God, we're not going to be judged. He's not going to open up the book and say, well, here you did this, but because you had this separate bit of light that you rejected what God's word said, well, I can, okay, we'll forget that one. No, that's not going to happen. We're not going to be judged by our own ideas. We're going to be judged as the basis, from the basis of God's word. give an account of himself. Give an account of himself. Did I say that once? Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10, in verse number 12, that we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that can commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, they're not wise. Three little words at the end of that verse just kind of conglomerate everything else that was said in there that may be a little bit confusing, trying to follow through what all he was saying, but they're not wise to compare among somebody else and say, well, that person can do it, that person's doing it, and that other person feels like they're at peace in the midst of doing that, but it's not for me to judge where that person stands, but where I stand. I'm going to be judged according to what I know to be God's will. Good, acceptable, perfect will. There's been an argument that's going around and been around for a long time, I'm sure, probably just as long as Boone and Crockett has been measuring antlers. Some people want to say, well, this rule that they have in measuring antlers for the record book, we need to do away with that one. Well, you know, it's the rules of Boone and Crockett. Or it's the rule of Pope and Young. Whatever you want to do, it's the rules that they have. If you don't like it, don't go there. There's rules. So what is the measure? What is the measurement by which you and I are going to be judged? What is the measurement that will be used to classify or to characterize or to say one thing or another about an individual? Well, the bottom line is what God said in his word. You and I can ignore it if we want to, but that doesn't make it obsolete. Just because we say we don't agree with that, just because we say I don't look at it that way, just because we say that that's not for me, doesn't negate the reality that it is for me. 2 Timothy chapter 3 really gives us it's a clear picture of what the Scripture is and what the value of the Scripture is. Paul's talking to Timothy. In verse number 15, from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. It's a good bit of theology, good bit of truth right in there, isn't there? You can find your way to Christ through the Scriptures. Verse number 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Well, we could take some time to break that down, and we won't get into that, but listen to what he said. It's given by inspiration, first of all, inspiration by God, or from God, and it's profitable for what? He said, profitable for doctrine. That's your belief system. It's also profitable for reproof. It means that if I'm doing something that I should not be doing, it's proving to me that I am in error. It's profitable for correction. Profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness, giving me direction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, the psalmist said something very similar to that and yet different from that, but I think he's saying the same thing. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 119:11. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. The word of God is to give us a completion or a preparation for holy living. The word of God prepares us to live in Christ. The word of God prepares us, brings us to a new birth, prepares us to live as that new creature in Christ. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. There's some paths in the woods. Even in the darkness, I don't need a flashlight to walk them. I can get to where I'm going. I can find my stand even in the darkest of night without a flashlight. Now, somebody may say, just for the sake of the conversation, somebody may say, well, that's not really a wise thing to do. Well, no, if it's public land where there's other people hunting, then that's right, I will have a flashlight. But you know, sometimes I don't need a flashlight to get to where some of my stands are. I can get there without a flashlight. Why? Because I've been there before. You and I haven't been on this path before. Every step we take is a new step for us. We need a light. That light comes from God's word. God's word that is hidden in my heart, the lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. First John chapter 1, verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light. Now let's break that down real quickly here. Three things that we can find in that verse. Not boldly printed in that verse, but I think that we can take it out of that verse. Three things. It's his path, it's his light shining his way. His path, his light, his way. Not the world's path, not the world's ideas, not the world's way. It's his path, his light, his way. And I need his path. I need his light to shine so that I can walk his path and find his way. I cannot do it without God's word. Born again. The first birth is not enough. We need to become a new creature. That means that there's a change that takes place. There's a change of direction. There's a change of thinking. Shows up in a change of the way of our lives. The light for the path. If we are not receiving light for the path, we are not growing after the new birth. You notice how these little ones are growing up so fast? Wow. Some of them, it seems like they change just from Sunday to Sunday. I know that's a little drastic, but sometimes it does seem that way. They're growing. They're changing. How does that take place? It's because they're receiving what they need to grow. As we grow as a newborn babe in Christ, we are not going to grow unless we're receiving light on our path. Have you ever seen those flashlights that you hand cranked them? The harder you cranked and the faster you cranked, the brighter the light was. I don't like that flashlight, do you? I want something I can turn on and replace the batteries when it's done, or plug it back in and charge it up. You won't find, I don't believe you'll find a hand crank flashlight in my house or in my vehicles, but you'll find other kind of flashlights, batteries or rechargeables. I can be picky about the flashlights. But when it comes to the light from God's word, I cannot say, I don't like that one. I don't want that light. I don't like that light. I don't understand the need for that light. I can't do that with God's word. I don't see it that way, is said so often today. The reason why I can't see it as being needful is because I have not allowed God's word to renew my mind. That's a big thing for us in our culture today, in our religious culture today. There's a renewal of the mind that must take place after the new birth. And that renewal of the mind may take some time as God's word infiltrates, as God's word takes over in our mind, as God's word, we consume God's word. It's more than just turning over a new leaf in 2025. It's a new life. It's a new life. Ye must be born again. A new creature in Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, there's no marvel, Paul said, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Did you catch that? That would indicate to me that we need to be aware of God's light. We need to be paying attention to God's light, because the enemy of our soul... Adrian Rogers said, who knows when, a long time ago, the scripture in a nutshell, there's one problem, sin. There's one enemy, the devil. There's one hero, Jesus. And if that enemy can trip us up by presenting his light, how do we know what his light is versus God's light? He's given us the map. He's given us the light. We must make sure that we are receiving his light. A new creature. We confess, we repent, we believe. It's a 180 degree, not a 360. As some people would tell you today, that you just confess your sin and from there on everything's fine. There's no change that takes place, but there is a change that takes place. Not conformed to this world, but be transformed in Christ. Is your relationship in Christ? Is your relationship a new birth relationship? Would you stand with me this morning? Forget our services this evening. Look forward to being back together tonight. See what God has for us this evening. Praise God. Praise God. Jerilyn, would you dismiss us with prayer?